Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I have been told by various realtors, I don't think any realtor people here today, you can tell me what I'm wrong on this, that the hardest thing to do in realty is to show an empty house. That somehow houses that are empty seem just that well, cold and empty. And lacking the warmth and things. And when there are actually now people, you probably know this now, whose job it is to stage houses to either improve or to totally put in furniture and everything to make the house look like a home. But we all know, don't we, that nothing stays empty very long. And like houses, they quickly fill up with little critters and cobwebs and other things. Things will move in. I think it's one of the laws of nature that a vacuum, something always tries to fill a vacuum, if I remember my science. That's true in life, too. I want to hold that image, the image of an empty house and what can fill a house, to talk about ourselves and our lives and our lessons and what the Reformation, I think, was really deep down about. For you see, these people came to Jesus and talked to him were delusionary. The Jews had been carried off to captivity 500 years before. They had been conquered by the Persians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans. I forgot who else. Someone else along the way. They were not a people that had been free. And yet they had deluded themselves into believing what they wanted to see. They created a false reality. And in doing so, they emptied their houses. You know, they weren't being realistic about things. And therefore, they couldn't speak to the events going around them because they were living in a delusion. Now, we all know people, and we know in our times, that's not an ancient thing. There are people around us, and maybe we ourselves, that twist quite oftentimes to fit what we think reality ought to be or what we want it to be, rather than dealing with what it really is. Now, you knew you're going to get one rock music reference in here somewhere, right? Pete Townsend wrote a thing called Tommy about a mythical Messiah. He wasn't trying to write about Jesus. But there's one point where Tommy gets his vision and he starts running and he says, I'm free. But freedom tastes of reality. And that line stuck with me. Because to truly be free is to be rooted in the reality of the truth. And to have that fill our houses so that they're not empty. Because if they stay empty long, the bad things will move into them. And I think that's the message of the Reformation. Martin Luther and Melanchthon and other reformers are trying to say, you know, we filled the space that Jesus' love and mercy and grace should be primary in with other stuff. With other stuff we want to be believed because it's easy. It's easy if you have a set of laws and you keep them and you earn brownie points and you make it into heaven or you don't. We know how to deal with that as people. It's a thing. And we Lutherans can't look down our noses on anyone else because sometimes we can be pretty works righteous too about stuff. Just a little differently than is done in some other places. The notion here is that those spaces should be filled with God's grace and mercy and love and forgiveness. Those core things. And those are rooted in reality. Look at the first lesson. God says, I'm making a second covenant. The first one really, you know, didn't work very well because the people disobeyed it. This time, I'm going to be the one. Notice all the I's in there. God's going to do all the work. God's going to be the one that forgets. God's going to be the one that loves. Willing to forget, look beyond our sins. Because God's love and mercy is the heart, is the life, is the living in the house of our lives. That's what it's all about. So what the Reformation is supposed to be about. Sometimes I think we lose our way. We may have won a few battles, but sometimes we lose the war sometimes and forget that. We want to make rules and distinctions and classify people up and down and in and out, put them in nice, neat little categories. Yeah. Why? Because it's easy. Let's be honest. It's easy if we can justify or call upon people right on the bat. We don't have to take the time to learn them. We don't have to take the time to learn what God might be calling us to do. But those are empty houses, quickly filled up with stuff that weighs down burdens on us. And what made the people of the Reformation so excited was the idea of lifting burdens, taking stuff off of people's backs and their lives and their fruitful and unfruitful efforts, mostly, to try to win God's love, when the Reformation was saying, you have already been loved. Now, why do we do that? Well, I'm going to go with the house imagery just a little bit more. C.S. Lewis, who many of us have read parts of, had a wonderful description of what God was trying to do in calling us, making us disciples. He says, when we first kind of come to awareness, well, that's a conversion or just, you know, to points in our lives that happen many times, we feel God's presence. Well, we need God in our lives. We need to think of it like a house renovation. You know, anyone here ever done a renovation? Come on, most of us have. You start out with a great little plan, don't you? I'm just going to change this in the kitchen, or I'm just going to fix this in the bathroom. You know, not too much disturbance. You know, things are going to be easy. And I know I need it, so you go ahead with it. Well, we all know what happens with renovations, right? Next thing you know, you're pulling pipes out of the wall. You're tearing things apart. Your whole life is disrupted. It never goes on schedule, right? And you get all kinds of upset because what you thought was going to happen was nice, neat, and simple. You wanted a little makeover. But inevitably, it always seems to turn into a big makeover because we discover we need more than we let ourselves onto that we need. And before you know it, the pipes are written, the walls are out, and you don't have your kitchen for a couple of months, and you just don't know what to do with yourself. And yet, when the process is complete, isn't that the neatest feeling in the world? I've got a new kitchen, I've got a new bathroom, I've got something. And you forget sometimes the pain and difficulty along the way. This is the life of discipleship. We're in the midst of it. We feel very weighed down. Why is God tearing my life apart? Or why are things so hard to deal with? That's because, you see, God does not want us to make a little renovation. He's not building a little cottage here. He's building palaces in you and I. This is the potential that God's love sees in us. We're not little renovations. We're major renovations. Because God sees such potential in us for His Spirit to live and His grace and mercy to be lived out in this world. And so, yeah, it's disruptive. It shakes us up. It tears us apart. We get frustrated and angry in the process. But when we look back from heaven, or however that process works, we will see that God was remodeling us all along the way. And it wasn't we that did the remodeling. It was God. And so being a disciple means your life's going to get shook up. Things are not going to go the way you want. You can't force life into a reality you want. We're called to explode ourselves open to the reality that God would have us be. That's the good news. Not fun news. Jesus never said the truth will make you have fun, did he? No, he says it will set you free. And the truth of God's gospel will set us free. Free from narrow thinking. Free from prejudices and other things that hold us back from seeing the reality of what God is doing through us for the sake of the world. Remember, you're not a little cottage as a side project for God. It's personal. You're a palace. May the Reformation, may God's mercy and grace, may the truth and reality be at work, remodeling us all. Amen.
Amen.